Luke 2, 1 through 12. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Those of us who are able, think back to the days before cable or internet news. There were three stations, or networks, I should say. Back in those days, a wife asked her husband, Shall we watch the 6 o'clock news and get indigestion? Or should we watch the 11 o'clock news and get insomnia? World, national, local news comes to us today from many different sources. And the majority of the news is often describes what is negative. Crime, terrorism, war, economic problems, natural disasters. We live in a world filled with tragedy and sadness. And if there's anything that this hurting world needs, it is good news. Not only does this world need good news, but individuals need good news. Individuals need good news because their lives are filled with suffering, grief, and sorrow. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would direct our thoughts as we look at your word. We pray that you would give us the understanding that we need. And Father, give us the grace also that we need to follow your word. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. The Christmas story in Luke 2 that Stephen just read the first part of it tells us good news. In fact, it tells us the best news in the world. The angels told those shepherds in verse 9, verse 10, excuse me, fear not. Okay. Why did they tell them, fear not? If this is the best news in the world, what is there to fear? Well, look in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. They were terrified. Right? They were shaking in their boots, if they wore boots. Okay? And the angels must be awesome to behold. They must be fearful to look at. Perhaps the shepherds were startled. Imagine being out in the dark. The sun had set perhaps 3 hours earlier. Your eyes are very accustomed to the dark now. You're sitting there watching your sheep, and suddenly the glory of the Lord shines all around you, brighter than the daylight. And there is the angel of the Lord. Fear not, telling them what they needed to hear. And he says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. And that word you there is plural. Not just you shepherds, but you, all the world. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The best news in the world is that Christ came as Savior. He came to be the Savior. But many people, perhaps yourself among them, maybe thinking, that's nice. But to be quite honest, it doesn't relate to the problems that I'm facing. It doesn't relate to the stresses that I have. It may give some people a temporary lift, a little hope, peace at Christmas time. But then we all have to get back to reality. And honestly, the story doesn't touch the pain, the hurts that I feel, the sorrow, the heartache that I'm dealing with, that I struggle with on a daily basis. Many people would think that. If you're thinking that, then you've missed something. Some of the significance of that news as it relates to you personally. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Please allow me to use experiences of the past week as an illustration of how this good news is the best news in the world and how it does relate to pain, to grief, to sorrow, to tragedy, to stresses that all of us at various times face. God has answered many prayers this past week, and I want to give him glory for it. Monday morning, my wife and I were interrupted in our prayer by a phone call about 6:20. And you know, when phone calls come very early or very late at night, that they either bring very good news. I remember waking my father and mother up at it was about 3 in the morning their time, with the news of one of our children being born. And perceiving from it that my dad would have been just as fine to be told in the morning after he woke. But we got the call about 6 o'clock. It was Martha's mother, Nancy, saying that Harley, her dad, had died about an hour earlier. The first thought and words that came to mind were, praise the Lord. God answered prayer. We had just finished praying that the Lord would take him. We'd been praying for several weeks that the Lord would take him and take him in his sleep, which the Lord did. Another answer to prayer. And Joy, Martha's sister, had spent the night so that she could get up throughout the night with Dad, so that Mom, who had been doing that, could sleep. Mom was not alone when the Lord took him. That was another answer to prayer. Sunday, a week from today, so one day before that, great-grandchild number 22 had been born to them. And that was an answer to prayer. Everything was, Mom and child were doing very well. Thursday was Dad's funeral service. There was a wonderful gathering of family and friends. All five of Mom and Dad's children were there with their spouses. 21 of the 27 grandkids and their spouses and families were in attendance. 3 who were not were on the East Coast and unable to be there. One was great with child and imminently delivering, and so she did not travel to the gathering. And 2 were preparing for the burial, which was to take place on Black Mountain north of Craig, Colorado. They were getting ready for that the next day. Thursday, for 2 hours prior and 2 hours after the funeral, the family visited with each other, with friends. The service was about an hour long. At least 7 people who need to be saved, who need salvation, were there. 3 friends from Dad's Model A club, car club, and 2 couples who were neighbors of Mom and Dad, LDS. One was, I thought, was an LDS bishop, but found out that, no, now he's progressed above that to stake president. And wouldn't you know, they were seated right next to Dan and Karen Stewart. And I introduced them. And Karen told me this morning, she said, during the service, they were very at ease. And as the message progressed and the gospel continued to be given, they got more and more tense and nervous and uptight. And as Karen's word, they understood the gospel whether or not they believed it. And so another answer to prayer, they got to hear the gospel once again. I don't know how long, 30 years they've been neighbors. And the witnessing that took place between mom and them. Denny was one that we've been praying for. He was there in attendance also. They got to hear the best news in the world, that a Savior who freely gives salvation to all who come to him was born and died and resurrected. Later that night, Thursday night, the night of the funeral, before going to bed, Mom told one of her grandsons, "This has been one of the best days of my life. This has been one of the best days of my life." How, after 57 years of marriage, can a woman say that the day she saw for the last time her husband's body? How can she say that? It's because this news, the good tidings of great joy, brings hope, it brings power, it brings peace in the midst of grief and loss and heartache and pain. It brings all those. It's good tidings of great joy. I remember Mom about 4 years ago. That was just me and her in the kitchen or wherever it was. And she made the comment. She said, "I love that man so much. I don't know what I would do without him. I love him so much." It wasn't like she wanted him to leave. In one sense, yes. She wanted him to be with the Lord. But she knew that it was God's time. It was God's way. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God came to earth as a man. That he lived a perfect life and gave himself for us. That's great news. But there's more answered prayers. The next morning at 7 a.m. this past Friday, 27 people left Mom's house to follow 11 more who were already on their way to Craig for the interment. Then those 38 met 8 more on a small hill about 8,000 feet up a mountain where a grave had been dug back in September. The Lord answered prayer that there was only 6 inches of snow on the ground. We were able to get up there and able to be there. There was no wind. It was very beautiful. The casket was unloaded from the truck and set on planks that were laid over the grave hole. God's word was read. Hymns were sung. Prayers were made. And at Dad's requests, a couple shots were fired by his sons. And as the sun was setting, the casket was lowered by ropes into the earth. Mom had struggled with the thought of Dad's body being put down into the cold earth because Dad, for several months, had complained of being cold. She had said several times, though, "That's just his body. But Harley is more alive now than he ever was on this earth. He is in the presence of his Savior." And the same hour that the earth received Dad's earthly tabernacle, in a wood casket, the head across the side, "Death is swallowed up in victory," as we mentioned in that one song. The same hour that the earth received his body, mom and dad's 23rd great-grandchild was born. Another answer to prayer. How could all that be? Because a couple believed the good tidings, the gospel, and they lived it, and they shared it with their family, with their children, with their neighbors, their friends, and because God answers prayers. Thank you all for praying, and keep praying. Friday night, after returning from the burial up on the mountain to the hotel, Martha had engaged a man in a gospel conversation in the lobby of the hotel. Earlier, he had come into the swimming pool area. And I was there. I don't really care to swim. And so I was just watching the festivities. Have you ever seen 17 people in a hot tub? Okay. The water overflows. Okay. And the pool had a sign that said occupancy, maximum occupancy, 7. 7. And the pool was about the size, a little bigger than this platform. And the hot tub was standard size, you know, about 6 feet across. But there was a blank there where it said maximum occupancy. So they've put 17 people in. And, you know, the noise is very loud there. And I have trouble hearing anyway. And I was trying to take pictures. And I saw a man come in, and I don't know what he said, but evidently he said something like, is there room for one more? Or is there room for me? And then after 10 seconds, so he left. That was the man Martha engaged in conversation. She said something to the effect of apologizing for our family hogging the tub. And he said, oh, that was your whole family? She says, yes. He said, I understand because I have 11 children also. Or I have 11 children. And Martha said, well, we have 11 children, and I'm not LDS. And Martha began talking to him. After I got the kids out and dressed, I was looking for her. I wandered into the lobby and saw her there and listened for a while to see what was going on, and sensing it was a gospel conversation. And then Martha kind of paused when he asked a question. That was her handing it over to me. I spoke. The Lord gave us about 15 to 20 minutes to talk to him about this good news. Martha left and went to the van to get a tract written specifically for LDS, one that doesn't bash them. And God, as I mentioned, gave me about 15, 20 minutes to witness to Richard. He kept saying, he just asked for forgiveness, repent of your sins, and God says he'll forgive you, and you're good. And I kept responding to him with a question, on what basis does God forgive you? And he would go on and give illustrations, like if your daughter kicked you in the shins and she said, I'm sorry, Daddy, do you forgive her or do you hang it over her head forever? I said, well, I'll forgive her. I said, but I'm not God. And God said, the soul that sins shall die. God said, the wages of sin is death. God said, every sin he is going to judge. So on what basis does God grant forgiveness? And after the third time of that, he said, okay, I'm listening. And he did for the next 10 minutes or so. Pray for him as he reads the tract and as he remembers the part of God's word that I shared with him. Pray that he will believe the best news in the world. God answered so many prayers. And all of that, rabbit trail, if you will, that illustration comes as a consideration to the objection that this news doesn't relate to the problems that you may be facing. I'm saying, yes, it does. It's the good news that Christ the Savior is born. And who is the Savior? It says, the angels said, Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. Christ means anointed or chosen one. Christ is Greek, Messiah is Hebrew for the same thing. Anointed or chosen one. It means that Jesus is the one whom is chosen and anointed and sent by God the Father on this salvation mission. He was anointed as prophet to preach this good news. He was anointed as priest to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He was anointed as a king to come and to rule and to reign. And one day he will. He alone is able to reconcile sinful people to God through his perfect, sinless life, his substitutionary, sacrificial death, and his bodily resurrection and victory over death. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's gone. Because Christ is the victor. He is the one who conquered death. And he did it not for himself. He did it on our behalf. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus is Christ and Jesus is the Lord. Lord means boss, master, ruler, sovereign. He's born in Bethlehem. The Savior was born in Bethlehem. He's the master of all the world and all the people in the world. And we don't make him Lord. He is Lord. Whether we recognize it or not. And our task, our job is to bow the knee willingly now and recognize him as our Lord. One day, all people will. Right now, we need to be letting people know that he is Lord and that he is the Savior, Christ the Lord. He is God in human form, God in human flesh. He is Christ the Lord. And he alone is able to deal with man's sins, with your sins, with my sins. For unto you is born this day. Who is born? God is not born. Jesus is a man. He was born in Bethlehem. He didn't descend from heaven fully grown. He is born. He was born. He's a man. He was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, Mary a virgin. He went through all the stages of normal human development, just like all of us did, just like every human who will be born after today will be. Only he was born without a human father. Wonder of wonders, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's never happened before. That was the sign. He was born without a sin nature. Similar to how Adam was created without a sin nature. But Adam chose to sin. Jesus, when he was tempted, always chose to obey his father, to please his father. So as the perfect, sinless man, he could bear the sins of all the human race. He's unique in all the world. He alone qualifies to be the Savior of every person. He makes the news that he brings salvation. He makes that news the best news in the world. And the best part of the best news is that it is for you personally. The good news requires your personal response. Each of us, each person who hears the gospel must respond personally, as the angels did. Did they say, "Wow, what an experience. Seeing those angels, that was incredible. I know now that God will let me into heaven because he gave me that experience." Is that what they said? Is that what they did? No. Did they sit there the rest of the night with the angel pondering what had happened? No. Did they discuss theology? Did they debate how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? How many have heard that question? The answer is none. Angels don't dance. Did they discuss theology or debate questions? No. Did they say, "Thank you? I've always believed that. I'm good." No. They responded to the news that God had revealed to them through the angel. Their faith was demonstrated by their response, by their going straight to Bethlehem to see the baby for themselves. Because this was good news to them. What did they see? Look in verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. No halo, no glow, no angels there. Just a nondescript baby wrapped in rags lying in a feed trough. The place smelled like a barn because it was a barn. Very common, very simple. They could easily have scoffed at it. They could easily have stumbled over, as many do. But they didn't. They chose to believe the good news. What about you? Will you scoff at it? Stumble over it in your pride? There's no room for human pride in salvation. No room for human works, for human efforts. There is room for you if you'll come to Jesus in simple, trusting faith. He alone can save you from the wrath of God, which will fall on you because of your sins if you don't come to him. I remember my pastor talking about a neighbor of his he had when he was growing up. And he grew up southern Ohio. And he said his neighbor's father, his friend, neighbor's father, was very strict and free with the switch with his friend. And he said time and time again, you hear the yelling and the crying and the screaming as his dad held his friend's arm, dad's son, my pastor's friend. And we're going around and around like that, all the while the boy trying to get away from him, trying to get as far as he can. And my pastor said, if he'd only ran to his father. Right? While he's out there, he's a prime target. But when you run to your father, you can't get hit. Now, that's a pretty poor illustration. But when we run from God, his wrath will eventually fall on us. When we go to him, when we run to him, the wrath has already been taken by Christ. Jesus will save all who come to him in simple trust. He has never saved anyone against his will, against that person's will. He doesn't force himself on anyone. What he does is change your will, to make you willing to come to him. Has he changed your will? Has he changed your heart? Are you willing to come to him as the shepherds did? Look in verse 15 and 16. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Will you come as they did, with haste? They even left all their excuses, all their sheep. They were supposed to be watching the sheep. That was their daily responsibility. They left their sheep to go and see. They did not use as excuses, well, I have this to take care of first. Remember Jesus talked about those who were bidden for a wedding? And the first one said, I bought a piece of land and I need to go see it. Another said, I bought some oxen, I need to go test them out and prove them. Another one said, I'm married, can't come. They began to give excuses based on their daily responsibilities. These shepherds went with haste. And what did they do after they came? Look in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Will you make known abroad what you've seen and heard? People need to hear the good tidings so they too can have great joy. This is the best news in the world. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, that it is living, that it is powerful, that it is true. And Lord, we pray that we who profess salvation would glorify you, would praise you as we should, would obey you as we should, and seek to share this good news with others who need to hear. But I pray for the many that we have witnessed to over the years that are still in a state of rejection. Father, would your Spirit convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment? Father, would your Spirit soften their hearts and draw them to you, that they would trust Christ? We pray for Denny. We pray for Richard. Pray for the neighbors, Kent, Joanne, and the others that heard the gospel at the funeral, and Lord, that they would be saved. Pray that you'd be glorified in our lives in this time. Father, make us aware. Give us a burden for those around us that need to hear and trust Christ, and make us willing to open our mouths and to share. We praise you for this good news, and that you include us in these tidings of great joy. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.